We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Connor Rohr, who is in the final year at the Frost School of Music and is going out with a bang. In the fall, Connor was a finalist in the ultra-competitive 2023 Herbie Hancock Institute of Jazz International Piano Competition, the world's most prestigious jazz contest. He's also toured with Samar Joy, a triple Grammy winner who was recently anointed the best new artist in 2023. And Connor is now preparing to graduate with his master's degree in music theory and composition in May. But hold on, there's more. And on Thursday, March 14th at 5:30, you can enjoy the sounds of Connor at the Susquehanna Art Museum for his solo recital. And I'm happy he could fit us in his busy schedule and come on The Spark, man. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Marquise, for having me here.
Of course. So look, first question here, man. How do you do all of this?
It's a balance for sure. In addition to, you know, as you said, going on tour and being out of town with Samara and, you know, of course, keeping up with piano, I'm also teaching at the Frost School of Music.
Wow.
And I'm also a student at the Frost School of Music. So, you know, it's just taking it one day at a time, I guess, hour by hour,
yeah.
You know. And I love it. You know, it's a great balance and everything I'm doing is involved with music and it's my passion and you know, yes, sometimes it can be overwhelming, but it's what I love doing.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy teaching. I enjoy playing, you know, I enjoy composing, you know, that's what I'm studying at Frost, you know, getting my master's in classical composition.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things, you know, they're all related.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't feel like I'm doing, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's all kind of, you know, it's part of me.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah. Yeah. There's a word that that our head of HR used today, synergy. So it seems like all of this kind of synergizes quite nicely for you.
Absolutely. You know, and it's also, I like to think of like streamlining. It's like, okay, you know, if I'm working on this composition, you know, maybe I'm writing it for, you know, orchestra or something like that. Maybe I could use this for a solo piano thing, you know. And in fact, one of the things I'll be playing tomorrow for the concert is based on sort of an orchestration project that I had to do for school. So, you know, everything, I try to expedite some things. Okay, maybe I can get this done very quickly and use this for other, you know, in other formats, you know, for solo piano or something. So, you know, there's a lot of that. I end up doing that a lot, streamlining. Yeah.
So how did you get involved with all of this? Because, you know, I'm reading your bio and you're a small town kid, you know, from Mechanicsburg,
yes.
Much like myself, I'm from Lancaster County,
yes.
and you typically see like these kind of things happen to, you know, big city kids.
Of course.
You know, so how did you get connected?
Yeah, so it's funny you ask that because, you know, at the competition, you know, I was hearing, you know, a lot of these people I've looked up to, a lot of these people I was competing with, I won't say against, I will say competing with, they're from, you know, big cities like Chicago and Houston and L.A. and especially New York, you know, New York, a lot of people are based in New York. I grew up in Mechanicsburg, and I will say what this area has is a rich, I had a lot of mentorship, you know, growing up, especially with the Central Pennsylvania Friends of Jazz. You know, I was able to go to the jazz camp for a number of years. I actually started there as a trombonist.
Wow.
When I was in seventh grade. But quickly after, you know, I realized, okay, piano is the thing I want to do. I want to become an improvising pianist. Before, I had been playing classical piano and learning repertoire since I was 5 years old. So,
wow.
You know, I've been studying piano for a while, but improvisation was sort of this new thing that I was getting into going into high school. And I had a lot of, I had quite a few good mentors that helped me along the way, namely Kirk Rees, who is, you know, a great pianist in this area, and he has taught me a lot, I owe him a lot of, you know, to my knowledge and in the way I play, and he's opened me up to so many different concepts of playing and of course, listening to records. But also, I should mention Steve Rudolph, who was executive director of the Central Pennsylvania Friends of Jazz for many years. And he's helped me out. I've gone to his house and we've talked about music for hours. And of course, he's helped me out in terms of getting work and being able to, you know, work in this town, you know. And of course, being a musician, being a jazz musician, half of the work is done through experience of playing with people, playing with other, you know, playing with a bass player and a drummer, you know.
So, yeah.
And the other half, of course, is working diligently in the practice room, you know, I would say. So, you know, I feel I consider myself very lucky to have those mentors in my life. And those opportunities to play early on. Yeah.
So then these programs and camps then help propel you to where you are today?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it was really just one camp, the Central Pennsylvania Friends of Jazz camp that meets, you know, every June, you know, at Messiah College. And that's where I got my start, you know. And, you know, next thing you know, I started playing with, I met two guys, Logan and Gabriel, and we formed a band named Teen Town. And of course, you know, now we're not teens anymore. Most, two of us aren't teens anymore. But, you know, I've been playing with them for, I guess, 7.5 years by now. Mm. And so that was great. You know, that's where I got my start, you know.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so, yeah.
Wow. And now the Herbie Hancock competition, you mentioned there were some folks from New York and New York City. So can you describe the atmosphere of the competition in New York City? I mean, you said, you know, compete with, but I still feel like there had to be like a sense of, you know, me against you type competition, no?
Yeah, you know, it's important to be this concept of camaraderie, you know, between musicians is so important, you know.
Yeah.
Especially musicians of the same instrument, and you know, piano is one of those instruments that, you know, people play so differently, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I was hearing, I listened to a lot of the semifinals and a lot of people. There were 11 people in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were based in New York. And these are people that I've looked up to and admired, you know, in my generation, you know, people who are around my age that I've always looked up to. And just hearing them play and hearing how different each player was very intriguing to me. You know, surprisingly, I went into the competition just thinking, okay, you know what, I've prepared as much as I can. I don't usually do these competitions. I, you know, that was really my only competition in terms of jazz piano I really applied for. And so I just went in there. I just thought, you know, I'm just going to do the best I can, and not try to be in my head so much.
Yeah.
And I didn't really feel that kind of that competitive spirit of, okay, I'm gonna do this. It was kind of just like, you know what, I'm just gonna have fun with the band, you know. And that's the thing. It wasn't solo. I did play a solo piece, as you heard, beginning this program. I did play a solo piece for the finals, but most of the time, I was playing with a drummer and a bass player, and really, I was trying to focus on enjoying, you know, my time with them and being in the moment and just really enjoying playing with them because those musicians I was playing with were, you know, New York jazz musicians who had been around and played with many of my piano idols. So I was trying to really enjoy that. So
then how did you stay focused during that time? Because I'll tell you this, if I'm at like a basketball clinic or something like that, and you know, if Allen Iverson is like, hey, Marquise, come on over, check rock. You know, like I'm going to, you know, be excited, you know, but also like I've looked up to this person. So like my focus will be distracted with admiration. So
absolutely.
So how did you stay focused and ultimately becoming a finalist? Like that's huge.
Yeah. So I knew I was going to be nervous. Mm. First of all, I prepared myself to be okay. You know, I'm just going to be completely nervous. Like I'm just not going to be able to think like I'm used to thinking in the moment, and I'm not going to be able to focus like I'm used to focusing. So I prepare myself for that. But in terms of playing for this panel, you know, all-star panel of my idols, you know, including Mr. Hancock himself,
wow,
who was on the panel, but also other pianists like Bill Charlap, I've listened to many, many times, Hiromi, Danilo Perez, mm-hmm. Orrin Evans. These are, you know, these pianists are you know, pillars.
Yeah.
I really wanted to cater the actual music to them. Mm. You know, so I was thinking, okay, I put a lot of time. I actually put less time into practicing and more time into deciding what tunes to play because I knew that was going to be a defining factor.
Right.
For the judges, but also for myself and how comfortable I feel. Mm. I played a lot of Wayne Shorter stuff because I know both Danilo and Herbie Hancock played extensively with Wayne Shorter and know his music and resonate with his music. It was almost like, you know, I was doing it for them, you know, which I guess that could be a little bit more nerve wracking, but for some reason it was very relaxing for me to just present that, you know, and, I was nervous. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, of course. But it was kind of like one of those attitudes you have where it's like, okay, whatever happens, happens, you know, let's just do this, you know?
My old football coach would say that is called stepping up to the plate.
Exactly. Yes.
Before I go to my other questions, talking about Nerves of Steel, how did you overcome your nerves during your first performance with Samara Joy's group?
Oh boy. Oh gosh. So my first performance with Samara was at Sculler's Jazz Club in Boston, and I was subbing for someone who was already on the gig. Mm-hmm. And so I was approached for this opportunity not too far in advance, you know, probably about 3 or 4 weeks notice. And I had to do a lot of preparation, you know, listening to her music. I, you know, of course I knew about Samara and, you know, I knew who she was, but I wasn't really listening to her music a lot. So I really had to get caught up. And, I flew in the day of I was at school in Miami. I just started my master's and I just started doing my teaching. I was teaching assistant for Martin Bejarano. And so it was the first week of school. And I got notified about this, and I was like, "Oh gosh, okay." And I flew up the same day as the gig, and we did a short rehearsal. And I wasn't feeling great about it because I was just kind of, you know, I was thrown into this. Mm-hmm. Samara and I we hadn't met in person.
Oh, wow.
That was the first time we met, and the first time obviously she played with I played with her, and you know, a lot was going through my mind. I was very stressed. I was very overwhelmed. But luckily, there was another show that night.
Yeah.
We did two shows, and I will say the second show was so much better. It was like, you know, I felt in terms of me, in terms of the nerves and feeling, you know, I just didn't. This was my first big gig, you know, and gosh, it was so much fun. That night. And then we went to we had two more gigs in different locations. It was sort of a short stint, a short tour over the weekend. So I had a couple more opportunities to play the same music and get it right.
So how do you prep for something like this? Like do you are you in your bathroom and you're like, all right, I'm hit them off with a little staccato and then some allegro and little bitty bitty bitty, you know, like how do you prep?
Yeah, so usually what happens is, well, sometimes it's funny you say bathroom, but sometimes I'm away from the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm on a plane or something, or maybe, you know, I've been training myself to learn how to really prepare music without being at the keyboard, because a lot of times, especially when you're on tour, there's no access to a piano unless I bring my little MIDI keyboard in my backpack. But a lot of listening and a lot of taking notes. And what I mean by notes is not actual, you know, music notation, but just writing down words saying, okay, this is where the form goes. Okay, she's going to do this. Just be ready for this. And that first gig I played with her at Scholars back in, this is September of 2022. I had this little notebook that I pulled out with all these markings and all these, you know, talking about, okay, this is when she's going to come back in. Oh, she likes to do it like this, you know, very specific details that maybe I wouldn't, you know, remember immediately, you know, just to keep myself just a little bit of a reminder, you know. So, you know, usually the case is, okay, she sends out voice memos, you know, taken from gigs that she's done already. And so I'm taking notes on like what's going on.
Okay.
You know? So, yeah, that's kind of the way it goes. But those times where I'm at the piano, of course, I'm practicing and really working out exactly what needs to happen, you know.
Always a student, I see.
Oh, of course,
always.
Of course.
Yeah. So next Friday, here on the Spark, we're having a special on artificial intelligence and if it's going to in fact start taking people's jobs. So for yourself, where do you see the intersectionality of music and AI?
Wow. Okay. So, you know, I play improvised music. You know. And of course, improvised music is, you know, the basis of that is spontaneity. And, you know, I feel like it's very difficult, you know, it's a very human thing, you know, of course. I think, you know, especially in the recording studios, in mixing and mastering processes, you know, AI can play a really important role. But, you know, I go to school, you know, for music. I go to school. I'm learning all these techniques. And, you know, sometimes I kind of get a little scared, you know, when it's like, okay, you know, this, you know, some of these concepts that I'm learning, I may not need them in the future because something else is going to take care of that, you know. Technology is going to take care of that. You know, I've taken a lot of music tech classes just as part of my very versatile education of being at a university of Miami, you know. I'm not just learning jazz, you know, I'm learning a lot. But I think for this music, you know, it's human expression, you know, and spontaneity. And it's not just about the music, it's also about, you know, what we see on stage, the interaction between musicians, the conversation that's going on stage. And obviously that's impossible to really recreate through technology. So,
absolutely.
So, you know, it's a very, that visceral feeling that you get, you know, when you're seeing a live band playing and you're seeing, you know, the smiles on everyone's face and the interaction that's going on, the shouting, the everything.
I'll tell you this, nothing beats that live band experience, you know, just hearing the notes and feeling that energy that cannot be duplicated. So talking about hearing notes and feeling energy, you'll be doing much of that tomorrow. So can you tell us what is happening tomorrow? I mentioned it at the top of the show, but can you tell us what's happening tomorrow and what folks can expect?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm playing at the Susquehanna Art Museum tomorrow. I'm presenting some new music, some old music, some of my favorite music, solo piano, and I believe 5:30 is it? 5:30 start. There's going to be a reception right before, you know, where I'm happy to talk to people and share, you know, my experience and just kind of chat. And then I'll play a 75-minute set of music. And I'm very much looking forward to this. I've played at the Susquehanna Art Museum before, and I'm playing on a very historic piano that's been played by some of the jazz greats that have passed through this town, passed through Harrisburg, and have played. And I'm really looking forward to this. My family's going to be there, and I'm sure some of my mentors might be there as well. So it's going to be a very fun time. I'm so happy to come back to my hometown and share, you know, share what I've been working on.
Yeah.
And it's a really wonderful thing, and I'm really hoping a lot of people can come out and enjoy this. You know?
Now, what is the or how significant is this to you to show, you know, your hometown folks, you know, this is what I've been working on the last couple years. Yeah. You know, when I left here, I didn't have a beard. Now I have one. You know, yeah. so. How essential is that for you to show the folks that seen you in your youth, to show them your growth, especially in music?
I guess it is an essential thing. I just think it's a wonderful thing after the competition, after playing with Samara, to really just come back and present what I've been working on. Yeah. So it's a very important thing. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Connor, this has been fantastic. Thank you for coming on the Spark and letting us into this prodigy world of being a jazz pianist. I know in showbiz you're not supposed to say good luck, so break a leg.
break a leg
tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for coming on the Spark.
Thank you so much, Marquise.
Yes.
All right.